Bush Dhaka is good for your health.
It's Decolonize Your Diet with Delani and Caillou Bales.
So eat 'em, Bush Dhaka. Eat 'em every day.
Decolonize Your Diet, a show that will change the way you think about hunting, gathering, and Bush Dhaka in general.
Bush Dhaka is good for your health.
And here's your hosts, Delani and Caillou Bales.
Honey.
We're sitting up here at the fruit barn, Stradbroke Island, just having a cold smoothie. Be yarning with Damon Gemmo, the maker of that sugar film. It's still the highest grossing Australian documentary of all time across Australia and New Zealand. Welcome, Damon.
Hello. Thanks for having me.
Oh, it's a pleasure. Before becoming a director, you were an actor and spent some time with Uncle David Gopalu as a young fella after working together. Mm. Can you tell us what happened there for you to meet up and how has that impacted you?
Yeah, I reckon that's had a pretty profound impact on me. It was a film called The Tracker in 2002, and we filmed it out in a place called Arkaroola, which is in sort of the middle of South Australia, sort of south of the APY lands, and country, really interesting sort of terrain. And we went out there and filmed for about 6 weeks, and it was only about 12 of us, so it was a very small crew, and I just got to connect with David on a very deep level. I mean, I think to his credit, he took me under his wing a bit. I was 22, I think, at the time. Didn't know much about anything in terms of Aboriginal affairs. And he really just sort of, you know, took a shining to me and we had a very strong connection. And when we finished filming, he said, why don't you come up to Ramagining and come and stay on my country and learn some things. So, again, I was 23, packed my bags and just went up and stayed with him. Got this tiny little plane out of Darwin and landed in the middle of nowhere. And you know, David's not great with time and location, and he said, oh, you know, I'll meet you there at 2 o'clock. And I walked down this road and people were looking at me like, who is this? What's this guy doing in the middle of nowhere? And I said, oh, I'm here to meet David. And they kind of laughed, and I reckon I sat there for about 8 hours, and finally David came running down the road. David! And he took me to the bush, really, and taught me lots of things and hunted goanna and did all sorts of things. And it kind of changed my life in a lot of ways, actually. It was the first time I really stepped outside the crazy Western system and really connected with nature and had things explained to me and the magic of your culture, really, and seeing things that I didn't think were possible and feeling emotions. And the connection was something that has stayed with me forever. And I think when it comes to the sugar, I just noticed at the store the amount of, you know, Coca-Cola that was being drunk. And when I did come to make that sugar film, I really wanted to make sure that story was told and got out there and people were made aware of what was going on in some of these communities and the lack of action that the government were taking in a few places. So it's interesting because a lot of people have really responded to that section in the film that normally wouldn't have taken an interest in that topic. So I kind of do thank David for that, in a sense of opening that door. And it took me 10 years later to repay him, but yeah, he's a very special man, and I'm grateful for our connection. There's a magic in David too, you know. There's something special about him. You see it on screen. He's got something that people strive for their whole lives, and it just comes effortlessly to him. And that's why he's had the career he's had. And I'm very grateful to have known him.
Now, for anyone who missed the film, I'd recommend you see it firstly to understand the serious situation we're in with the sugar problem globally.
Yeah.
But anyways, in the film, Damon used his own body to experiment to see what would happen to his health if he ate the so-called healthy choices available in our supermarkets. Mm. You were off sugar for 3 years when you decided to make the film.
Mm.
And after 60 days, what happened?
Well, let's just say that if I knew now what I know about sugar, there's no way I would have made the film. I wouldn't have done that experiment on myself. I think all of us were, including me, pretty shocked at how quickly things deteriorated. So I think for people to understand who haven't seen the film, I wasn't having things like, you know, soft drink and ice cream and lollies. The sugar I was eating was found in foods that are often sold to us as being healthy. So low-fat yogurts and muesli bars and cereals and all these things that we, you know, these companies spend millions of dollars advertising and getting to kids and having bright logos. That's the only food I ate for the whole experiment. And I developed all the same symptoms that we're seeing in society now. So non-alcoholic fatty liver disease, type 2 diabetes, put on lots of weight, all the internal damage, and I didn't touch a can of soft drink, you know. So I think that's why the film made quite a big impact, because people were shocked to realise how much sugar is in our food supply, you know. And you know, if you're eating real foods, you're eating bush foods, you don't have to worry about that stuff because it's not in there. But the minute you start having too many processed foods, The company's put the sugar in there because it's a great preservative, so it means it lasts longer on the shelf. Plus, they know we're kind of addicted to that sweet taste. So, say, a cereal company, for example, they know that if they put more sugar in one particular brand, that'll sell more because people love sugar. And so, without realising it, most of the world is now having dessert for breakfast, and they're being sold that it's healthy and a great way to start the day, and you couldn't have anything worse to start the day if you try and look after yourself and have a healthy life.
Deadly. Well, I noticed when I was doing some research on the film itself, it took me to the APY lands and a bit of a history of, you know, of their food story. And I wish we had time to go into it, you know, to talk about the funding cuts from the homelands, to talk about the nutritional, the cuts of the funding through Aboriginal health, just the whole timeline. It's tragic, and I'm sure it's not an isolated incident.
No.
But I think what's really struck me was when they did move from the homelands, how it went from 90% bush tucker to, one fella said 10% on an interview, and one other fella said it could be as low as 5.
That's right.
And how long did it take you to get better? We've talked about how bad it is and how it got to where it is, like the sugar, you know, the move from fat-free and just shove sugar in and people won't even know.
Yeah.
But how long did it take you to return back to normal?
Well, I think that was probably the biggest shock of the whole film, was that as soon as we stopped the experiment, the scientists that were working with me and the nutritionists said, look, you've got to stop. Like, you're getting to a point now where your liver is on the verge of cirrhosis, which means it starts to harden, and it's very hard to come back from that. And again, this is only from 60 days of having, like, you know, juices, soft drinks, those kind of things, like the flavoured juices, like sports drinks, that kind of stuff. That's what it did to my liver that quickly. So I guess the best thing out of the whole film, we were going to stop the film then, but ended up putting this in, was that just from stopping that sugar intake and drinking water instead of all those drinks, just in 60 days, all those symptoms reversed. So, I mean, full-blown fatty liver to a clean liver. This is how amazing the human body is when we give it the right thing. When we create the right nurturing environment for it to flourish or thrive, to use your brilliant word, it will. Like, it's just, we've got to get out of the way and let it do its natural thing. And these kind of drinks, these kind of foods we're having are not man-made. They're not of the earth. They're not Mother Nature. They are made in a lab. They're made in a factory or a laboratory, and they are very carefully orchestrated by these large companies to make money, to get us hooked, to toy with our hormones and mess up with our metabolism so we crave more of them. The minute you get them out of that natural system, it flourishes again and back it comes. So that's what people have to understand. This isn't a big, complicated thing to do. You don't have to go and take all these special vitamins. Yes, some of those might help, but what you need to do is just start eating real foods again. Stop eating the crap. And before you know it, it'll be tough. You'll probably feel pretty rotten early on because your body is changing its fuel supply. It's getting off that fake high or that fake rush that we all love, you know, we crave, and actually starts going back to natural processes in your body. So that's the biggest thing I could say to encourage people, is understand that it's going to be tough. There might be a few days where it's quite emotional and tricky, but the benefit when you get through that will be like something you can't explain, and you can't tell people that. It's when they feel it themselves that they go, wow, this stuff, I get it now. And I guess especially to the Aboriginal community, that's what we're trying to do in the APY lands, is give them that experience. And any one of those elders or people that have done what we're doing with our programs, they can't believe it. They just can't believe how different they feel, because you wake up in the morning feeling different. You get out of bed with vitality. Your moods don't fluctuate throughout the day. You feel consistent and you sleep better at night. Now, you can't tell someone that. You have to feel it. And when you have that experience in your heart, you don't want to go back. So that's our challenge, is trying to just get that out and give people that opportunity to actually experience it rather than just have it as an intellectual concept.
So important, because like you said in one of the interviews I was watching when researching for this segment, is not many people experience even a week without sugar. I just think it's so important that the message gets out there, you know, so that at least maybe people might even decide. Because you said also that the thing that you noticed the most was the cognitive.
That was the big shock, yeah. Is it, obviously,
we wouldn't even notice because we haven't gone off sugar for a week,
that's,
you know?
That's the point I make, is that given how prevalent it is now in the food supply, I reckon most people might not have gone 2 days or maybe even one day without sugar since they were 2 or 3 years old. So they don't actually know what it's like to not have that. It just feels like this foreign kind of experience. So I say to people, give it a, just try for 2 weeks. Just challenge yourself. Go for 2 weeks and see if you notice any difference, you know. And I almost guarantee you that after a week or towards the end of that second week, it's super subtle, but especially people who are sensitive, you feel it and you go, oh, hang on a minute, I'm not quite as irritable. I haven't snapped at the kids, or I haven't yelled at someone in road rage. There's just little things that start to change, because you're actually going on a level, these like proteins, these slow-releasing healthy fats we operate on a stable level. The minute you start spiking that blood sugar up and down, it's course it's going to impact the way you feel and how you interact with the world. It's all connected. It's very obvious when you understand it, but we've just been very cleverly misled to believe there's another way and another paradigm. And thankfully, people are waking up to that and starting to go, no, we don't want to listen to that issue anymore. We actually want to live a different life.
While making the film, you learned of the achievements that have been made through the work of the community-owned and directed organisations, such as the Maiwiri Regional Stores Council, Nanumpa Health Council, and NPY Women's Council. Mm-hmm. How did you become aware of the achievements in these communities?
That was one of those lovely moments where I was trying to look for a story inspired by David, and at that time up in Ramanganing, and thinking, I wonder what is going on in terms of Aboriginal health at the time, in terms of soft drinks and whatnot. And I came across a story about this random town in the middle of Australia called Armata with a few hundred people, and the elders have got together and decided they were going to remove Coca-Cola from their store, you know. And I thought, gee, that's a positive Aboriginal story. Like, we've got to tell that story. So I just sort of dived deeper into that, learned the history of Maiwiri and what had gone on there, and it is such a compelling story. Like, in fact, if anyone wants to check it out, the ABC did an Australian story last year on that, and you can probably get it online still, and it's with us going out to the APY lands after that sugar, but also the history of their story in Maiwiri there is really interesting. So the other thing that appealed, this was an organisation that was Aboriginal-led. It wasn't coming from the government saying, right, you've got to do this and you've got to do this. These guys have got together and decided to take responsibility for their community's health. And I just thought that was, again, a story worth telling, because, you know, we're just sick of that story of, like, here's the handout, here's what you should do. This was kind of the ground-up local organisation that was empowered. So I just felt like Australia needed to see that story. Even though it was dressed up as sugar, there was actually a bigger political statement in there as well, saying, yeah, it's about food, but look at this Aboriginal organisation, they're doing awesome.
Basically, you're determined to give back to the APY communities and support them in their mission to take control of their own nutrition and improve their health status. After doing the film, as promised, if it did well, you were going to set up the Maiwiri Foundation and the Sugar Challenge, yeah? So that happened in 2014. You were feeling it was time to empower people to improve their nutrition, and thought you could do this by raising the much needed money to support community driven programs. I think that's amazing in itself. We've all identified nutrition as a key social determinant of Indigenous health. If we had more time, we could go into the timeline, like I said earlier, of the events that took place in AP1Ns that put them in the situation they're in today, with the 90% turnaround from eating 90% bush tucker to now 90% store-bought food, and how that comes about, and how it led to today some communities consuming 100 kilos of sugar a week, which has only just come out, I think, since the film, these sorts of findings, and something that you mentioned where some community of 100 people, other communities like Amata consuming something like 40,000 litres of soft drink in a year, and there was only 400 people in their community. How far have you come since the creation of the foundation and the awareness spreading?
I guess I was pretty naive going into it in terms to understand really the politics of how it all works. And, you know, the last thing you want to do is roll in there as a white fella and say, hey, here's a solution. We've got the answers. It's like, hang on a minute. We're kind of sick of that, dude. Thanks for your well intentions, but take your can of Coke and shove it. No, it's been a really interesting lesson in humility of just like kind of making sure that we associate and consult with all these different groups on the lands, that we don't want to come in and take control. It's like, we want to provide some money, you decide what's best for it, and that's taken a long time to get right. But I'm sort of proud of that in the sense that we didn't rush in and just go, we've got the answers, and then it was like, no, let's do this properly. Like, let's actually, you know. It's been tricky, we think, because the film got a bit of exposure. Coca-Cola sort of came in on the back of us and started offering some incentives as well out there again, and sort of putting certain machines back in place and stuff. So there's been an ongoing battle, but the community itself are so supportive of what we're doing, and they don't understand this stuff. And I've had the elders out there say, what I understand is, why is this stuff in here? If it's so bad, why is it in here? And that breaks your heart, because you think, well, yeah, God, how long have you got? Like, here's the story, you know? So I think, too, there's a lot of confusion where I think a lot of people know Coke's bad, but then they don't realise that Fanta or other things have got just as much or even more juices. But, you know, Coke's been vilified. So It's just a long process and probably longer than I'd hoped and thought, but that's just the nature of the beast and I've got to suck that up and accept that that's what we're in for. But I get excited by the kids and the younger kids that sort of really take to it, really love the film, are really excited about it, and they're the ones going home and telling their parents as well.
So we talked about awareness. How can the schools and communities get involved?
One of the best things that came out of the film was that we lined up with a lot of different philanthropic organisations and different partners, and we were able to make sure that once people seen the film, there were avenues to take action and do something about it. So we've got School Action Kit, which is now like in over 1,000 schools around the country. We've done a sort of an Aboriginal version of that for the APY lands, but there's like a free app you can download called That Sugar App, and it helps you just scan a product in the supermarket and it will tell you how much sugar's in that product, which is really easy. It's free. And we're actually just about to launch at the end of February an early learning kit, so for babies to four-year-olds, like for mums, to help them actually understand how much sugar's like in baby foods and all this kind of stuff. So you really start the children off on the right foot. And we know now from the science, if you do start a child, like the food companies know this, if you get a child hooked very early on sugary foods, you literally set them up for life because they develop a taste preference, so they'll still want more sugar. So if you can make sure you really control that in those first few years and get their palate used to something else, you just set them up for a much better opportunity later in life. So that's coming out as well. So there's lots of resources people can go to. Our website, That Sugar Film, you can get all that stuff. We've got heaps of free recipes on the website. There's probably over 300 recipes there now. So for everything from various, you know, treats and desserts to lasagnas and stuff, but just doing it a slightly different way that's just a little less in sugar, less in refined carbohydrates. All those little things that kind of add up, they're all there for free. So, you know, if people want to do it, they're able to do it.
I forgot to ask you about the Healthy Food Cafe and the nutritionist that works in community that you've been able to help out with.
So we've had two nutritionists out in the lands, which has been fantastic. And the goal, the big goal, is to do the Healthy Eating Cafe, which all the people want out there, because I'm sure it's, you go and visit some other communities as well. Unfortunately, people out there are having a sausage roll and a can of Fanta for breakfast, you know, and because it's cheap and it's quick and it's easy to grab. So when we've gone out and done the experiments where we've said, right, we're going to have a cafe for 5 days, we're going to cook breakfast every morning, the line's been out the door around the corner. So if you can provide that option, whether it's scrambled eggs or a bit of avocado or a green smoothie, people want it and they have it. So the goal is to get a healthy cafe built, have all Aboriginal chefs there, they can come and do and train up there, to have workers there, and create a meeting place as well. Put the footy on the weekend, have a muso playing, whatever, just create a nice community, because we all love going to a cafe and having food, but out there there's just, they don't have that option. So why not create a space that's conducive to socialising and eating good food? Hopefully that switch will happen very quickly.
Healthy lifestyles, isn't it?
That's it.
It's going to be good just to have them kids growing up knowing a different way, you know, because we've seen the tragedy that happens when mob move from the bush to the city. And you don't want that pattern to continue, so it's so deadly that they've got this effort in community to try and grow them young ones up.
That's right.
With their palate not ruined, you know, and see, you have to learn at 50 and 60 that that's dangerous.
Right.
They're going to know
straight away
for their children, you
know, when
they become parents.
And we've got a battle on our hands because we don't get the right support. It's not an even playing field. It's bloody hard to fight against the messages that these kids are given when the government is putting no controls on these companies, just advertising to kids. They're not helping out in any of that support. That's the thing that drives and infuriates. It's hard. You've got to fight hard to give the right message. And that shouldn't be what society's about. It should be easy to do the right thing, but we're fighting against this system that's out of control and it's ruining our lives, it's ruining the planet, and if we don't address it, we're not going to change anything. So we've got to go into battle on the sake for our kids and actually do this work for them, and that's just so backwards. So I hope that in 50, 60 years, maybe even sooner, that we have supportive governments or supporting groups and communities that make it easy for us. We focus on growth every quarter, and there's this mark called GDP, and this GDP doesn't factor in social costs, inequality, the environment, whatever it is. It's just this ridiculous monetary figure that we're all driven by. And so these companies get complete license to manipulate our kids, advertise it, doctor their foods to put all these things in. No one's caring for the community. No, and look what's happening. It's falling apart.
But I don't think that the average Joe Blow realises that the government's not there for the human beings' best interest.
Yeah.
Simple as
that. I think they're starting to. That's right.
And I think that we can just make sure that every kid in this community has a goal.
Yep.
We can fight against the powers with common sense. So if I can just set, as one mum of five kids, set a goal like that, what the healthy intake is of sugar, what's a maximum allowance, and if that's an achievement in itself, because I didn't know that until I was 35.
That's right.
That's so right. What chance have I got of even caring what's on the label?
That's right.
So I think for me, I've got to look at my parameters.
That's right.
My resources and yep. go, this is a huge fight against billion-dollar corporations. That's right. What can this black mama do?
That's
and
right.
that's what I think I can do to make a difference.
And that simplifies everything. And it's, again, sadly, that's being neglected, is that you look at it, most labels or the awareness now is about grams. And people go, oh, you're supposed to have 90 grams a day. No one knows what that means. It's like, what the hell is that? If you can start talking a language that's very visceral, and we did that in the film, you say teaspoons. Well, the World Health Organization recommends about 6 teaspoons or less a day. Like, most Australians are having somewhere between 30 and 40. 6 a day. If we can have our kids having 6 a day, we've got a different future. But unfortunately, they're not having that because they don't understand that metric. They don't know, there's nothing to measure that. So you're right, we've got to simplify it. You've got to make sure that people understand what they can do on a very practical level and let all the top-down stuff happen in due course. But right now, you can empower yourself. You can do something about it because you can decide how much sugar goes into your body or your kids' bodies.
Would be mm-hmm. one of the best things that people can do in their homes yep. is actually to show them. Is it 5 grams of sugar?
So it's about 4 grams. 1 teaspoon of sugar is 4 grams.
Okay.
So if you pick up like an iced tea, a bottle of iced tea, and you look at the back and you see sugar, it'll say 36 grams. So if there's 4 grams per teaspoon, you divide that 36 by 4 and you get 9. Right? There's yep. 9 teaspoons in that iced tea. Now, if that was on the label, you'd sort of think about it. Because do you put 9 teaspoons in your tea? Probably not. Would you give it to your kids? Probably not. Whereas you see 36 grams, it's so ambiguous, you don't even know what it means. So that's the number one thing people can do. Understand to read a label, because the companies and the government aren't making it simple for you, that 1 teaspoon is 4 grams. So do that maths, and then aim for about 6 a day.
And we have to tell the kids that we, as humans, are so out of whack that we're actually consuming 40 teaspoons on average a day. But we've got to be able to tell them, you know, like, this is the problem.
Yeah, and here's
the solution.
That's right.
Yeah, and I think...
And it's a simple one, really.
So we can all do something at home, can't we? If we can just start with
yep.
that.
Yeah, and also I say to people too that when you go to the supermarket, just try and eat the real foods. And what I mean by real foods is that if you can limit those processed, like the sauces and the yogurts and all that stuff, you can go around the perimeter of the supermarket and you get like some nuts or seeds, or you have real bits of fruit. That's real fruit. Your body knows how to deal with those things. So if you can make that the majority of your start in the first couple of weeks and you make that kind of 50% of your shopping, you might still have the other things. That's all right. Be kind to yourself. Ease yourself off it. But if you can just eat real foods, you will notice so quickly how your body turns around and your mood turns around. That's not that complicated. Just if it came from Mother Earth, it's probably okay for you.
One of the keys that you're aiming towards there, I read, and correct me if I'm wrong, that one of the goals there is to reduce the sugar consumption on the APY land from the current intake of 30% of the daily mm-hmm. energy intake to 5%. So that's yep. another guide that
that's
people
right.
can use as well, yeah?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
If people want to catch up with you or mm-hmm. a community want to invite you out,
yeah, yeah.
you can hit it home in their community, mm-hmm. or they'd just like to learn more, where do they go?
Well, so there is the website, is thatsugarfilm.com, and we've got a pretty active Facebook page, so if you even write a message on Facebook, someone will get it and either relay it on to me or to our team. And, you know, we've sort of got quite big goals this year. We're launching sort of, we're training a lot of corporates about this sort of stuff. We're teaching, we've got a program for individuals now, so people can sort of pay if they want to, and they do a course that helps them through step by step to get off the sugar. And feeds, the majority of those proceeds are going to go to Mayweru or to our schools, just to keep it all going. Otherwise, we're not going to be able to keep going. So we're just trying to sort of say, let's get healthy, but at the same time, you're not spending on your money just to make us rich. We're actually going to put it back into the community or back into the schools so that we can keep this cycle going.
Thank you so much for your time, brother. This has just been mind-blowing, to say the least.
Pushtaka is good for your health.
Thank you for joining us this week for Decolonize Your Diet, brought to you by Mother and Son Team, Tiger and Caillou Bales. Be sure to join us again next week, same time, same place. To listen to this episode again, visit our website at 989fm.com.au.
Decolonize Your Diet, a show that will change the way you think about hunting, gathering, and bush tucker in general.